Okay, so I was very excited when I sat down to pray this year because this is the first time we got to learn Parshas Balak together. Never ever. Parshas Balak, I always taught in camp. To kids who had never learned Parshas Balak because they never learned Parshas Balak in school.
Right.
And they're like, this is a real story? So as much as I like to teach again in camp, I prefer to learn it with you. So there's so much. It's actually
cool. Which camp are you teaching?
I taught in Camp Shalom for many summers. Oh, wow. All my kids were in Camp Shalom. And then as soon as I was able to stop, I stopped. No, I liked it, but you know, it only goes so far. It served its purpose. I actually really enjoyed it. It was a nice place to work. So anyways, there's so much to talk about Parshas Balak. So I thought we'll hone in on one. So I was like, oh, I should teach every idea we have in Parshas Balak in one session because we're not going to get this again for a long time. I don't know what year, you know, it comes out again that Parshas Balak will be like, you know, just early mid-June rather than being, you know, the end of June. But let's just get started and then we'll go. I didn't bring the translation of the Pesukim just because there's so many here. So I'll explain it. But let's just start from the beginning. And we're really going to focus on basically one specific question. So the Torah begins, the parsha begins as follows. Remember, this is parsha's chukah is when Moshe hits the rock, right? So Moshe is now not going into Eretz Yisrael, but the people are going to get ready to go in. So and they've already conquered some other kings, you know, Sichon and Og. They're getting closer, all right? So now the people in Eretz Yisrael and the people in Moab are getting more nervous because Am Yisrael is now advancing more. Okay, so Vayar Balak ben Sipor. So Balak saw what Am Yisrael did to the Emory people. Fine. They got very nervous. They were really, you know, worried about them. Not working so much with the details of this. Bottom line is, they're nervous. And Moab and Midian, now we're getting ready to join forces. Moab and Midian are bitter enemies. But they're ready to become friends in order to fight the Jews. That seems to happen, you know. So he sends now emissaries to Bilam. Pesora shall nahar eretz bnei amon likro lo lemor hinei am yatsam mitzrayim hinei kisa seina aretz puyoshev mimlim. There's this nation that's coming out and they're covering the land. They're standing and now they're camped right by me. V'atalacha na arali as amazeh. So do me a favor, go and arali is curse this people. Ki atzum hu mimeni. Okay, it's too much for me. Yulai yuchan nakabo v'agashin min aretz. Ki adati es asher tivarech mevarach v'asher taor you are. And I know, Balak, Bilam, that whoever you bless is blessed, and whoever you curse is cursed. It's interesting language because who is that really true of?
Bnei Yisrael,
a little bit. Those who bless, right? That's said about Hashem says it to Avraham Avinu. Mm-hmm. Right? Those who will bless you will be blessed. Those who curse you will be cursed. Right? It's interesting language, but he's saying it. I know that Bilam, you have the power to bless and to curse. So the people you curse are cursed. The people that you bless will be blessed. Yeah.
Want a question?
You had a question.
I have a few questions. No, well, the language is the
there's
same
a lot of questions.
Taro
yeah.
and Mitzrayim talked about Bnei Yisrael.
So many of them.
It's like the same.
It's how they talk about us all the time, even though we're teeny tiny. Right.
Yeah. Every time someone says it, the same thing at the same time. She says, "You know, I'm just pointing out that we're not as numerous as the stars."
Right, we're not so much, right? I mean, we're a lot of people, or millions of us, but we're not like, you know, the Muslims.
No, but the whole thing is weird. Right. Moab and Midian were like powerful nations, and their way of dealing with Bnei Israel is, let me go get someone to curse them.
Well, just like, to be fair, like, did they have what to be worried about?
Yeah, of course they did.
Yeah, they did. It's scary. We're going and not going to kill everybody.
Yeah, but why would they have
faith? It's not like we're conquering all other nations.
But to have faith in Bilam for being able to curse the people that Hashem is already blessing everywhere they go.
Okay, they're desperate. But also, remember, at the very least, they recognize this is spiritual power. Mm-hmm. And so they want to attack the spiritual power. There's a certain recognition that exists in these people, by the way. They're like, we should give them a little credit. Right? Mm-hmm. They see the greatness of Hashem. Yeah. And they see the greatness of Klal Yisrael. And they they're not like doing it the right way, but there's a certain awareness and they're on the right wavelength in terms of understanding what's actually happening, which is pretty good.
Okay.
So let's keep going.
And it wasn't fair that Hashem gave us Moshe and didn't give them something.
Good. We're going to get to that. Yes. So Vayachu Ziknei Moab, Zion. So the elders of Moab go Ziknei Midian. So both. The elders of both countries go Uksamim B'Yadam with sorcerers with them. Vayavo El Bilam Vayadabru Elav Divir Balak. And they bring a message from Balak. So he says, okay, we're not told what he said, but we were just told what he said. Mm-hmm. So they deliver this message. He says, no problem, stay overnight. I'll tell you what Hashem says back to me. Why? Because Bilam is not like Moshe Benu. He can't just call upon Hashem whenever he wants. He needs to go to sleep. And then in a dream, he'll hopefully get to speak to Hashem. Vayavo Elokim El Bilam, Vayomar, Mian Hashem El Limach. Hashem says, who are these people? We fight this before. Hashem does this Adam and Chava. He'll give a person an opportunity to like respond and to lie if they want to lie, like forgetting that Ribbono Shel Olam knows everything, right? So he who are these people? Right? So he says, Vayomer Bilam, Elohim, Balak ben Tzibor, Melech Moav Shalach Elai, Hinei Am, Yotzei Mitzrayim, fine. Vayomer Elohim, El Bilam, Lo Selechim Ahem. Lo sorasam ki baruchu. Hashem says, sorry, Bilam, nice idea. You cannot do that. Do not go with them. Why? Because this is a blessed people. You're not allowed to curse them. Yakam Bilam baboker. Bilam wakes up. V'yomer sere balak lechu el artzachem ki me'en Hashem mititi la'alachal yimachem. Sorry, guys, go home because I cannot help you. On face value, that's the right thing to do. Fine. V'yakumu sere moav v'avo abalak v'yarmu me'en Bilam l'haloch iman. They go back and tell him, say, you won't come? So Balak tries again. He sends even more. Instead of sending, you know, regular diplomats, he sends the Secretary of State. He sends like the more chashuva people. Etc. Come on, you gotta follow me. We'll give you lots of kavod. I said everything you tell us we'll do. Vayam Bilam Vayomer Avdei Balak Imitain Balak Malo Beso Kesef Izahav Lo Chal Avor Es Pi Hashem. And okay, if you give me all the money in the world, I can't violate Hashem's will. La Sos Katana Udala. By the way, again, pretty good. That's good. Give me all the money in the world. I won't violate what Hashem said. Ve'ata Shvuna Baze Gamatem Alayla Ve'idam Ayosef Hashem Daberimi. But stay here tonight. Let's see what Hashem says. That's already. You're like, wait a second. I thought you just told me Hashem said no, and you said you can't give me all the money in the world, then you leave. But what does he say? But stay. Maybe it's worth it to hear what Hashem will say now. Why would Hashem change his mind? But okay, fine. And Hashem all of a sudden changes his mind. If they've come for you, go with them. But what I'm going to tell you, that's what you're going to do.
Opposite of power.
What do you mean?
He didn't harden his heart.
Hashem?
Yeah.
Hashem doesn't harden his heart. Oh, he doesn't harden Bilam's heart.
Right.
Good.
He, said, okay,
well, he lets Bilam choose.
Let's see what's going to happen. Try.
Right. But I'm just saying, if you just read the Pesukim, does Bilam look like a bad guy?
No.
No?
Doesn't.
Okay.
He does what Hashem said.
Okay. He basically is following through the whole time what Hashem says. And by the way, the same goes if you read throughout the rest of the Parsha. Every time he responds, you know, he tries to curse, it doesn't work, tries to curse, and Balak's like, what is happening here? And Balaam's like, I told you I can only do what Hashem says. Fine. But each time, what does he try to do?
Curse.
He tries to curse the people, okay? It doesn't work. He gets over, literally, his body gets overtaken, and he like is forced to say blessings instead of curses. So like, but he keeps on saying, but I told you I can only do what Hashem says. Okay? And there's another part of the story also that we're not going to read, which is in between, when they go on the trip, what happens on the trip? They're all in their way, and what happens? The donkey, the talking donkey thing, the Eddie Murphy donkey from the, right? They got that, Shrek got that from us.
Yeah.
So that story also, he's on the donkey smashes his leg against the wall, he won't go, and then Hashem reveals that there's actually a malach there in front of the, like with a fiery sword. And again, the same thing. He's like, oh gosh, like, do you not want me to go? He's like, no. Go right ahead. Right? So on the one hand, Bilam's, you know, he's not, if you just read his words, he's not bad. And we'll talk more about this. But But there's certainly something, there's what to pick up in the text that it's not all what it seems. Right? It's not all what it seems. And we're going to find that many, many of the Rishonim pick up on this problem, and particularly pick up on the problem of why did Hashem change his mind? Or change his mind, right? That Hashem starts with don't go, and then says go right ahead, right? Why does that change? The simple pshat, right, is the parent pshat, right? The parenting pshat. Can I go? 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 Fine. You want to go? You know I don't want you to go. You want to go? Get kizut. See what's going to happen to you. Go ahead. I told you not to go, but you want to go, right? So that's like the probably like the most simple pshat. But let's take a look a little bit. Let's take a look at Rashi. But that's going to be our. There's 100 other questions, right? But that's at least the question I want to address today. Okay, so look at Rashi, source number 2. Vayarba, I just want to show you, this is just a sprinkling of the Rashis. This, Rashi throughout this story like manipulates and explains like what's really happening here, right? Based on Midrashim, but he explains as follows. Vayarba lak ben tziboris kol asher asa Yisrael amori. Amar, ilule shnei malachim shahainu bituchim aleihem lo amdu bifnehem. He says, well, there was 2 kings that I was waiting to kind of like defend us. Right, who both got killed, Og and Sichon and Og, right? Anu alachas kam vakama. So if he defeated them, we're toast. Okay? Lefikach vayagav Moab. This is why he's nervous. It's not stam nervous. He doesn't hate Jews. It's not anti-Semitism. This is fear. Therefore, he's afraid for himself.
And Az Yashir even says back then, when really just at the beginning of this whole adventure, that they were afraid.
Yeah, they're afraid. They're afraid. And by the way, they should be afraid. It's reasonable to be afraid. Right, fine. Losa, fine. So, but that goes, jump. The first time Hashem comes, he said, the guys come, he comes to Hashem. Hashem says, Losa leichem ehem. Amar lo, im kena kalalem bimkomi. So Bilam says, I can't go with them. So this is like, again, this is how the Medrash takes Bilam and makes him maybe worse than he is. But if you really read the story, maybe not so worse than he is. But so the Medrash fills in the blanks. Hashem says, don't go with them. So he says, fine, I won't go, but I'll do it here. Amalo lo saor sa'am. He says, no, don't curse the people. Amalo im kein avarchem. Okay, so maybe I should bless them. Amalo einam tzunichim lebirchasecha. They don't need your bracha. Ki baruchu. Right, he's just explaining why the 3 parts of the pasuk. Lo saleichim ahem, lo saor sa'am, ki baruchu. Right? So that's what's bothering Rashi, right? Fine. So the point being, just leave me alone. Leave me alone. I Hashem's basically saying, like, just do nothing. Leave us alone, please. And he responds to them, Hashem won't allow me lahaloch imachem. Hashem won't let me go with you. So it fills in Rashi, Ela im sarim gdolim mikem. Meaning, what did Bilam say back to them? Hashem won't let me go with you. Not with you. Mm-hmm. Right? Meaning, they picked up. Why did they send someone again? They picked up in his language, he was technically saying the right thing. He's saying what Hashem said, but he was sort of like implying, at least, that if you would up the ante, maybe it would work, right? Right. So Ela im sarim gedolim mikem lamanu sharucho gavoha v'lo ratzel legalosh shehu birshusu shemakom. He says, you know, Ela bilshon gasus lefikach vayosef obalach. Meaning, there's something about the way he held himself. Like, guys, I can't go with you. Right. There's something about the way. What you don't get when you just read the pesukim themselves is the tone. You don't know how he said it. And so what Rashi's saying is that. Why did they come back to him a second time? They saw he left an opening. If you would have slammed the door shut, right? You sometimes go to ask someone for whatever you need to ask them for, and you hear like, absolutely no. So then fine, so you don't come back. But if you hear like, well, I don't know, it's probably not good, so good right now. So then you're left open with, you know, maybe we can come back, right? And they felt there was an opening. Why was it an opening? Must have been something about the way Bilam was speaking. Fine, okay. And then Hashem comes then the second time, and Hashem says, fine, if you want to go, go. Im likrolacha, im akriya shalcha, v'savura talito alei aschar, kum aleich itam, fine, you think you're going to make money from this? Because they said it, he said it. If you give me all the money in the world, I can't go with you. Well, now they're offering all the money in the world, and it's going to work, so then, gegezunt, go ahead. V'ach, al korcha asher adavar asher edaber elecha, ososa aseh. Meaning, but I'm just letting you know, says Hashem, you can go if you'd like. It's not going to work. And then says Rashi, va'afa pichein, and nevertheless, va'yelech Bilam. Amar shema efatenu v'yisratzen. Maybe I'll fool God. Meaning that Hashem says to him, if you really want to go, you can go, but it's gonna backfire on you, Bilam. So it wasn't that he said kum leif. So Rashi answers our first question. Rashi's the first answer to the question. What do you mean Hashem says gegezunt, go for it? He didn't say go for it. He said you can go if you'd like, but no, it's not going to work for you. And that's why he lets him go. Because again, we're going to see this phrase come up over and over and over again. But derech sha'adam rotze lilich molichin oso. Hashem does not control our choices. So if a person wants to do the wrong thing, what's going to happen? You have the opportunity to do the wrong thing. And even he'll let you do it. And maybe provide the opportunities that you're looking for to go do that thing that you're not supposed to do. Right? If you want to do the wrong thing, Hashem is not going to stop you. He may even let you go.
Why? How is Hashem directly communicating with
Bilam? He's a Navi, Avi Mos Olam.
Oh, okay.
The Chazal say that we said, kam Navi bi Israel kemoshe, right? So the kash is, so why is that, what's that language? So Chazal Darsh in that pasuk, there was no Navi bi Israel like Moshe. But there was a Navi like Moshe in the Umos Olam, who was that Bilam. Why? Because there is a concern that the Umos Olam said, if you would have given us a Moshe Rabbeinu, we also would have done the right thing. The answer is Hashem says, I did. I gave you Bilam. Okay. Fine. So Moshe, so Bilam, as much as he's like, we kind of like laugh at Bilam, we laugh at him because he gets embarrassed by Hashem in the end. But he was a very spiritual person. Clearly, he has nevuah from Hashem.
Right.
None of us had talked about Kadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah, it's kind of confusing. But he has like this like very spiritual piece to him that he's able to communicate with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Nevertheless, he falters here, right? Fine. Okay. And by the way, what is the thing that clearly is a sad point, but it's not such a sad point? The thing that ultimately gets Bilam? Like, what is his Achilles heel? Is it his hatred for the Jewish people?
No.
It's money and kavod. Yeah. It's money and kavod. God's got to pay yeshiva tuition. But I'm just saying, it's just interesting, right? A person of Bilam's stature, in the end, his downfall is Money and kavod, right? Hakava motzias adi min olam, Chazal says.
Is there another Navi who was like corrupt or didn't do the right?
We find Gehazi, who's the
Eliyahu.
Yeah, Gehazi's with Eliyahu. He's not with Elisha. I think he's Elisha's guy. Elisha's side, but he probably ran with both of them because Elisha is Eliyahu's second, his helper. And then when Eliyahu dies, Elisha takes over. And I think Elisha's, Shamus is this guy Gehazi. And Gehazi, at one point, Gehazi is a good guy. And at one point, Gehazi gets caught up in money also. He takes money and that's the end of Gehazi. So you find that there are people like this throughout the Tanakh who are in good place, and they get caught up, in money and kavod, and they lose it. Okay, take a look at the Kli Yakar, Shosh number 3. He writes the following. Okay, everyone's going to be talking now about this line. Like, Hashem says, you know what? Fine. You want to go? Go. What's the pshat? Yesh shlichos b'shnei panim. There's different ways for people to be sent. Okay? Lefamim ha-shliach masne imzeh. Sometimes the shliach makes a tanai, makes a condition. Imzeh ish, asher hu oleich acharav, shamanas kein anim olichicha baderech telech, shetavtiach osi, shetaseh bakashati. Sometimes someone says, I need you to do this for me, and you need to do exactly what I'm asking you to do. Okay, so sometimes you ask them, you hire someone for a job, you say, this is the thing I want you to do. Fine.
Acharam and Eliezer.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Yes, he gives them very exact instructions. Good. V'lefamim, ein ha-shliach masne shum davar, elo seh shlichos ha-kriya levad. But sometimes the shlichos is more open-ended. It's not as clear exactly. You're going to be my emissary. You're going to do a job for me. But like, what exactly you're going to do is not entirely clear. Meaning, sometimes like it's up to like the shliach. He says to him, you trust him more. You say you're going to make a decision. By the way, it's a little bit like Eliezer even there. Like you have to decide which person. You'll decide what deal to make. Sometimes like, look, do what's in my best interest. But I trust you more, and you get to decide for yourself. Okay? V'chach amar Hashem lebilam. Im anashim halalu rotzin la'asos imcha ma'amad. If these guys want to make you their shliach, right? V'gamar la'avtichacha kach v'kach kesef v'zahav. Kadei shegam ata tavtichem lekalel. And they're saying, we'll give you all this money if what? You promise to curse? Az lo telechim mehem. Then you can't go. Ki ena davar b'shutzcha. That's not up to you. That's up to me. I'm telling you, you can't do that. They're just saying, Can you work for us? Come with us, and you'll do whatever it is that you think is best. Fine. By the way, yeah, birshuscha la'asosa omlo, az leichitam. They just want you to come with them. Fine. They say, you know what? Don't make a decision. Just, you know, they're like, you know, take the first step. May have the first meeting, right? Like, don't just come with me, right? So then, go ahead. Vizesh amar va'aches davar, and that's what Hashem says. Okay, but just know, you're gonna have to do what I said. Fine. So that's sort of like a technical way of getting out of the problem. Like Hashem said, if in the krolacha, if you just want to go with them, that's fine. But just know it's not going to work. Fine. The Chizkuni, source number four, writes, in the krolacha lazmincha leacholimahem, lizboach lezevach hashlamim. If you just want to go and have a party with them, you're going to have you can make korbanos. Leichitam, go ahead. Vim tamar manish tana ma'isa sha'achshav amar lo leich. So why did before Hashem say don't go, and now he says go? Our question. Before he was just saying don't go curse them. Okay, that's a technical answer, right? Technically, he was saying don't do it, don't curse them. Now he's saying you want to just bring korbanos? That's fine.
He's loosening the leash.
A little bit, yes.
Seeing how far he's going
to
go.
Good. Devar Acher, you're going to give a different answer. Devar Acher. This is not the Hashem didn't change his mind. Second answer is no. Taka Hashem did want more chashuva people, and now he's letting him go. Why?
Because he's gonna go.
Okay.
It's the outcome of him actually giving a bracha instead of cursing in front of
Those people will be better.
Well, yeah.
So maybe Hashem held it. I said, well, you know, you're going to do it anyways, so let me hold,
right.
And I'll make it worse. I'll make it even greater bizayon for you.
Hashem knew the ending.
Right, so I'll wait till you're at the G7 summit, right, and they're all there, and then, that's much more embarrassing than if you're with the little diplomats and nobody knows. I'll wait till all the cameras are there and everyone's watching, and that'll be a bigger, message for the rest of the world.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. It's actually a very reasonable answer, right? That's a pretty good answer, right? It's good. Okay. Devar Acher, one last answer. Im Nikrolacha, im kol kach him shotim, if they're so dumb, Shabo likrolacha pam shnia, Achare shamarte lecha lo salichemem, kum lechitam, viru shalo yoyolem. It's sort of like, it's sort of the answer we've been saying until now, like, okay, if they come again and they so badly want you to go, fine. Again, because the end of that part, it's not such a difficult answer. Because at the end of the day, he says, "Ach, it's the davar she'edaber." It's only thing that I'm going to tell you, right? So, at the end of the day, Hashem's like, "I'm going to win anyways." So, if you really, this is really what you want to do, so fine, go for it, fine, okay. The Ozan B'Torah in source number 5 doesn't say something so strikingly different, but I like the way he puts it together. I was hoping he would say something like really unique because a lot of times he says something very unique, but he makes a similar point, but it's a little bit different what he says. He says the following: "Ein sveika kapei Shemaya." Hashem doesn't have any sveikos. Hashem's not like missing. Doesn't not know what's happening, right? V'lo ne'amar ha'dvarim b'tur she'ela. Right? It's not like a question. U'bilam lo ana aleihem. Ela shenemru b'tur tam. Lama asar la b'rishona la'alechim mehem ve'atav u'matir. Why is Hashem not letting him, now lets him go? Avala tam zed sarich biur. Like, meaning, what? I understand. Hashem wasn't like unsure and now changed his mind. So what's going on here? What was the job of Bilam? His job was to be the Lahavdio, the Moshe Rabbeinu for the Umos Olam. That's what he's supposed to be. Right? Ladrich otam b'derech, kamo Moshe l'Yisrael. Like Moshe is for Am Yisrael. Ukidrosh es chazal, Moshe b'Yisrael. Lo kam, avaba Umos Olam, kam, umanu Bilam. Right? This is what I was mentioning before. That there is someone like Moshe for the Umos Olam, it's Bilam HaRasha. Umimela, If the non-Jews will come and ask Bilam, Sheilechitzlam, to go with them, they want to learn what is it Hashem wants from them. Right? Meaning, what's his job? His job is to teach the Umos Olam. So the Umos Olam came to him and said, Bilam, let's go. We need your help with God. Okay, so what's Bilam's job? What do you say? No?
He should go.
That's his job. Okay. Fine. They want to hear what Hashem. Because they have to hear what Hashem thinks. That's what he's created for. But his job is to tell them what Hashem wants. That's what he's supposed to do. If they're coming to you, these people have come to ask you what Hashem wants. Lo lekalel Yisrael, right? I told you, Bilam, you can't curse the people. Lo asor asoram. I told you that already, right? So if they're coming to you for what? For your real job, which is to teach them what Hashem wants. Kum lechitam va'achet zavar shered ber lecha so saseh. Meaning what he's telling them, and some of the other Rishonim say this, that what Hashem is saying to him is, if you're willing to, I think the Ramban says this, and I think the Or HaChaim also, they say, if you're willing to describe to them exactly our conversation, which is, I can't curse the people, but God said I can come with you, and what's going to happen is I'm going to end up blessing them. If you tell them that, Bilam, then you can go. Because you're being honest.
But he doesn't tell them
that. So what does he do? He says, oh, Hashem said I could go. Oops. But he didn't mention the second part. Yeah. But God said I'm not allowed to curse them. And he's trying to make this work he's being dishonest about it. His job is, what should he do in that moment if he's really being the Navi for the Goyim like he's supposed to be, is he should say to them, guys, I can actually come with you if you want. But Hashem already told me what's going to happen. And this is how it's going to go because this is who the Jewish people are. That was what he was supposed to tell them. And that's what Hashem told him to say. And the fact that he goes without saying is the problem. Okay? Let's see if he says a little bit more. That's a lot of Rishonim say that. Fine. Right? And this actually should make Moab feel better. Shetomar lehem b'shem Hashem, say in the name of Hashem, erenu v'lo ata, shirenu v'lo karov, hanu shebnei Yisrael lo yigu ata behem. Lara, meaning that the things that Bilam actually says in the end are not so bad, right? They're coming, but it's not going to be for a while. Don't worry, right? Ein lehem lagur b'vnei, don't be afraid of them. Gam ein lehem lidog da'gas machar. Don't worry about what's going to happen later. Shula achar zman lo karov. Because one of the things that Bilam says is he says it's lo karov. It's not going to happen right now. Umatzinu lechizki ha'melech. She'itnachem v'amar to dvar Hashem. Haloim shalom ve'emes yeh b'yamai. Meaning, what could Bilam have told them? If you guys do tshuva, then none of this is going to happen to you. Right? Meaning, they didn't have to kill the people of Moab, necessarily. They end up fighting them and waging war against them because of what they did now. But actually, because of what they're going to do next. They're going to send the women of Moab, right, to seduce the men of Am Yisrael. But that they could have been okay. Right? Go ahead, do your job. Right? I don't know why I said this wasn't unique. It is unique. Right? What he's saying is a very beautiful idea. He's saying when Hashem says go, he says, you can go. Go ahead, do your thing. But just understand, explain to them what's really going to happen. And in that sense, Hashem is not changing his mind. He's actually saying, look, Bilam, I see where we are here now. Now you got to do your job. And instead, Bilam says, I don't want to do that. I want to get my money. And let's see if I can cheat God and make it work. Okay, so that's not, which I think is a very, very nice pshat. Because that now it's not like Hashem is like, again, the regular pshat is fine also. Hashem says, you want to do bad? Go do bad. I'm not going to stop you. Right? I'm not going to stop you from making bad choices, but I will still control you at the end because I won't allow this. Right? But here, it's even more than that. It's like, I have something elevated for you to do. I'm offering you an off-ramp that's actually excellent, and you're going to do the right thing, and you'll be rewarded for that, and it'll be a much better reward than the money you'll get from Amnon and Moab. And Bilam still can't do it. He still can't do it.
A Navi can only see the future that Hashem shows them.
Like, you can't. A Navi doesn't even always know the future. A Navi sometimes just speaks to Hashem and gets information. What is it Hashem wants us to do? Right, a Navi very often is not necessarily telling us the following will, they do that also, the following will happen. But a Navi oftentimes will just give Musar, right? Just tells people this is wrong what you're doing. Hashem doesn't want you to act this way, right?
Sometimes it's a remez, right? Like there's things a Navi,
I still remember when I was in ninth grade and I had someone who was probably an amazing teacher of Tanakh, to be honest. But what we're talking about, what is the you know, like Hashem shows Yirmiyahu like a cauldron of burning, and you're like, that refers to Bavel and this, and we're like, what? I don't understand. Right? If I was older and more mature, I probably would have really appreciated it. Yeah, yeah. Yirmiyahu is like, it's very complicated. Like there's all these mishalim that are going on, but yeah, fine. Okay, but this I think is a kind of like a different shot that really Hashem like offers Bilam the opportunity to do something really wonderful with this opportunity, and he doesn't take it. He doesn't take it. He goes after the money and the kavod and fine. Okay, which is probably very difficult to give up. Okay, I want to show you two more thoughts. Okay, and maybe the last one we'll just one and then a last thing to kind of wrap it up. Six is Rav Shimon Schwab. The Sefer called Mayam Beis HaShoeva, Rav Schwab, who was the rabbi, the Rav of the Breuer's community for many, many decades. It's a beautiful Sefer. It's like, it's unique because it's actually unique. It's like a square, almost, the book. It's a very big, it's like, it looks very different than any other Sefer. But it's beautiful, beautiful Divrei Torah. And he says something very, very interesting. Take a look at the second paragraph on the right side, the first full paragraph there, Vinira. He asked, one of the questions he asked is, why is it at first Bilam was with the whole entourage? And by the time he gets stuck, you know, with the donkey and the malach and the whole story, he's all by himself. Like, where'd all those people go? And they none of them see this whole story. So, like, what happened? Where did they all go? So he says something very interesting. He writes the following. What?
That is a good question.
Yeah, right? I never thought about that.
I would think Hashem's not going to send anyone to communicate with him with other people around.
Right, but why does he lose them? The whole point, he's going with these chashiva people. Rashi points out, there's an entourage, special, whatever. Yeah, so what's going on here? So he writes the following. Very interesting. That's his kasha. So he says the following. Vinira, shishteya kushiyos habishonos mentirasos yadei ashlishis. He goes, this will all be answered with the last point. Sheyesh lomar, shehitchlo bilam lalechas im sarei moav. Originally, he went with all of them. Nekayim diburosh lakadosh baruch hu kum lechitam. To do what Hashem said, go with them. He was so excited to do his job that he went faster than
running ahead.
It was trouble in my family sometimes. Sometimes like we're all walking, I have like the longest legs, and sometimes I'm we're all walking, and often I realize like they're all like behind me. He's always on his own. Viter al hakavo shall halvayas hasarim. He gives up. He doesn't care anymore about the covet of these people. Bichdela hasig miyad esamatera hara ashalo. He really wants to do this thing now, and he's like really into it, and so he doesn't care anymore about these people. And now he's like off the races, literally, to get it done. V'davar zer nirmaz b'mashakasuv ki holech hu. Why is Hashem angry? V'aycharaf Hashem ki holech hu. Hashem is upset that he's going. Of course he's going. Why say ki holech hu? Perish ki holich hu ba'atzmo. Hashem saw that he went by himself. V'alzeh kosev v'yicharaf Elokim. Hashem's upset. Shari lo hir shalol aleches l'shma. Hashem did not want him to go l'shem shemayim. Why? Rak bishvil mamon v'kavod. If you're going for mamon and kavod, that Hashem's okay with. Why is that? We'll see. But he's not okay with him going by himself. U'gashara shu mevater al kavod. He sees he actually doesn't care about the kavod. V'olich ba'atzmo simanu shira'a shadavar ra b'nei ha'makom v'nit'avel ilich. He sees that Hashem doesn't want him to do it, and he's going to do it anyways. He's a l'hachaznik. Okay? V'alkein, kishaba ha'malach l'hatroso lotzi v'lo lachzor ela amalo lech iman Hashim. When it comes time, why does the malach say to him, go with these people? I thought he told him to go back. No, he says, if you go with those people, that's fine. Why? Because Hashem wants him to go for the money and for the kavod. Why? Well, let's see. When Hashem is okay is when he goes with an entourage. Hashem is okay with rabim v'nechbadim imenu. As long, the more kavod, the more Hashem is go. What's happening here?
Well, people will see him.
They all see it.
So that's one shot, but he wants to go even further. Really nice. V'yu or ha'inyan. What's this about? Shekevan shenatzan haKadosh Baruch Hu la'adam yeshus ha'bichriya. Hashem gave every person the free will. Eino ma'akevet ha'adam lo'tzi me'achshavotav lepo. Hashem doesn't stop a person from feeling what he wants to do. What you want to do, you can do. But a person wants to go a certain direction, they actually get helped along the path. This is the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva. Every person gets to choose their path. Skip down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 lines down. Last word on the line. Vinira. Vinaskil shim bocher ha'adam lasos ha'tov. O ha'ra'a lishma v'lola na'asohu. If a person wants to do anything, good or bad, because they believe in it, not because they wanted something to gain, but it's just because they think it's the right thing, it's the thing that they want, as in a kadosh baruch hu marfiyo, then Hashem won't stop them. It's fascinating. V'yelul hu la'atz, v'alul hu la'atzliach, afilu im oseh ra'a. When a person is, they're not doing it for any personal gain, but it's because of an ideology, something they believe in, they have a much higher chance of getting it done. And Hashem doesn't stop them.
You're saying good or bad?
Good or bad. So for good, we understand
every
that.
Every Muslim blowing themselves.
Very good.
Hashem
Rabbi Govicht,
because they believe.
Rabbi Govicht used to say this all the time. He would say, Chevra, we dive into the same God. And they, you walk into a mosque, he says, it's silent. He goes, Muslims are not embarrassed to roll out their rugs in the middle of JFK and to pray. And we're like, I don't know, no one should see me, da, 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 right? Like, it's like we're up against a group that, this wasn't exactly the reason why I want to bring this up, but he said, Rav Govah says, like, we're up in a group which is totally the Shem Shemayim. They really believe. By the way, this is what the whole world doesn't get. I mean, I don't know, whatever. Like, maybe they do, maybe they don't. Like, about Iran. They're never going to give in. Why are they never going to give in? They're going to make a deal. Because it's ideology. It's religious. Right? With this fight between the Jews and the Muslims, which is not a fight, we don't want to fight with them, but you know what I'm saying? This battle, this conflict is so unlike, the rest, the Western world can't understand it. Because there's no values in the Western world that no one fights for values in the Western world. Some fundamentalist Christians do, like some Christians understand it better. But they don't understand what it means to die for something because you believe in it so much. Mm-hmm. And both of our religions in different ways believe so much in what we believe in that we will literally give up our life for it. They want to die for it.
The rest
we don't.
Of the world believes, I forgive you.
Right.
And
or give them jobs. That's the State Department used to say.
Yeah, but I'm gonna
give them jobs. They'll stop blowing themselves up. It's not how it goes.
Buy more cement.
Right.
Give them food that they're not giving out.
Right.
It's a completely different mindset.
It's Western values.
Yeah.
Money.
Completely.
Right.
Different.
That's not what they want. They don't want money. They can't be bought out, right? They give them money, they'll take it back to the ideology.
Going on today.
Right, same thing. Okay, so but the scary part is that what Rashad right, was saying is that it works. If you believe in something so strongly, not because you have something personal gain, because you're willing to give yourself up for it, Hashem lets it go, right? Whatever that means, exactly. So, again, it doesn't mean that they're going to be, you know,
right.
Ultimately we're successful, we know that. But it means there's a power to that, right? And so what he wants from Bilam is taiva, kavod. Do it for the money. Do it because they love you and you're going to feel special. Because if you're doing it for, so look what he says. Veneer, see, right, exactly. V'chein matzinu etz dora flaga, shal yigev akash baruch b'chirasam. Fine, anyways. But then, so look at the next paragraph. V'chein haya eitzel Bilam, shekozman shalach shalol lishma, b'shul mamon v'kavod, af yim yikaleh lo yetzlich. It's not going to work anyways. V'rak yim holeich ba'ofen shal lishma, yesh sakana, shetachol kilaso. L'fikach amal lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, she'ein lo leches kiim, b'kavod shalol lishma. V'zeo ma shenemar, im likro lecha, ba'u anashim, she'akriya shalcha v'yata mitzapim l'tashlum. That don't work. Okay? So but he turns it to Avodas Hashem, obviously. When we do the right thing, and you believe in something, and you, let's look at it in a positive way. Right? When you do something because it's the right thing, and just because it's the right thing, the power of lishma is incredible. And we all have that opportunity sometimes. We give things up, we do things that are hard for us. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. Right? And so what Hashem is saying to Bilam is, if they're coming to you now with money and power, great. Then go right ahead. You know why? Because you'll never be matzliach that way. Even with things that are the right values. In the right values. If I do them because what I'm going to get, It doesn't end up anywhere. It doesn't take you anywhere good, and it doesn't end up giving you value. But I want to end with you with one last pshat. One last pshat. And this is actually my favorite pshat in the whole thing. It's not on the sheet. This pshat I heard in the name of Rabbi Leonard Oppenheimer, who was a rabbi in Queens many, many years ago. And I saw this posted somewhere on a rabbi website. And he said the following beautiful idea. There's a mishnah on Pirkei Avos that says, Kol mi sheyesh bo shlosha dvarim halalo, certain values, certain midos, harei zeh mitamidav shel Avraham Avinu. And if a person doesn't have them, harei zeh mitamidav shel Bilam. Without going into the mishnah of what the different values are, the point is, you have two choices. The Talmidim of Bilam or Talmidim of Avraham? I would say, like, that's kind of a funny comparison. What's the comparison between Avraham and Bilam? So he explained very beautifully. Both Avraham and Bilam, Vayashkim Avraham Baboker, Vayachavosh Atono. He gets up in the morning and he saddles a donkey. For what? For the Akedah. Mm-hmm. Bilam does it to curse Am Yisrael. They both load the donkey themselves. Why? Because they're excited, they're ready to do with Zrizus what the Rosh Hashem wants from them. And the most important, what do they both do? Bilam always says, whatever Hashem says, I'll do. And Avraham Avinu also says, but he doesn't say it, he just does it. Whatever Hashem says, that is what I'll do. What's the difference? The difference is that over and over again, when Hashem tells Avraham Avinu to do something, what does he say? What does he do? He bends, it's something he doesn't want to do, sacrifice his own child, and he bends his will to the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, if this is what Hashem wants from me, then I will do it because that is what Hashem wants. The thing that he most doesn't want to do, it's the most extreme example, right? But throughout his life, Avraham Avinu says, this is what I'd like to do, this is what Hashem wants, I will change my will to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Bilam does the opposite. Bilam's more than almost any other person, maybe in the entire Torah, Bilam says over and over again, if you look at, you're going to watch this week, over and over again, what does he say to Balak? I told you, I can only do what Hashem wants. Are you joking me? This is a guy who does whatever he wants. But over and over again, what does he say? I only do what Hashem wants. It's a lie. But he spends his whole life saying he's doing God's will, when in reality, he's doing his own. Right? And we all have that opportunity in life, right? Right? You can do one of two things. You can say, this is what Hashem wants for me, and I will do the hard thing sometimes. It's like, and yeah, I really would prefer not to do this, but okay, that's what Hashem wants, that's what the halacha says, that's what, right? So sometimes I have to change the thing that I would prefer to do because I'm not allowed. Or sometimes I don't want to do X, but I'm supposed to, so I will, because that's what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants from me. And that's what Avraham Avinu teaches Am Yisrael. What Avraham Avinu teaches us is, sometimes true commitment is, I bend. I do the thing that's not comfortable and not the best for me, because that's what the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants from me. Bilam spends his whole life doing the opposite, right? And we find that, you know, you find this in the world sometimes, right? People want to do a certain thing, and all of a sudden it becomes what the Torah says. When in reality, that's not what the Torah says. You find a pasuk here, a Maamar Chazal somewhere, and you cherry pick and pull it to make what it is that you want, right? When it's not what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants. And that, in the end of the day, that's why Oppenheimer said so beautifully, that's why the Mishnah actually contrasts these two people, an Avraham and a Bilam, the person who says, yeah, that's what Hashem wants. This is Hashem. This is Torah, when really it's me. It's my desire, as opposed to doing the opposite and saying, I would rather do this. The Rambam says, a person shouldn't say a Burger King is disgusting. I mean, you think it's disgusting anyways. But name your non-kosher thing that's beautiful and that you think is awesome. You should say, that looks delicious, but Hashem said no. I love that. I was telling it to my kids. And Burger King comes down. I'm like, you can say it. It looks delicious. Okay. It looks probably much more delicious on TV. But, right? But that's what we do. That's what it means to be a Jew. Is that sometimes I give in and I say no. He says no, so I say okay. And that's what it means to be a Jew. And whereas Bilam is the opposite. And the two people who look like they're doing the same thing and internally are actually doing the opposite. So this is, you know, multiple approaches. But I think the core point here is that Bilam is like the epitome for us of sort of like when we skate around, you know, what we know we're supposed to do because it's too hard. And we pretend, you know, okay, a little bit I'll do, but a little bit I won't. And, you know, I'll make it work. I'll fudge it, you know, in a way that makes it look like I'm getting somewhere. When I'm really not, if I'm being really honest with myself, I know the right thing. You know, that's hard. And that's a hard thing to do. And I think the story of Bilam, similar to the way the story of Korach has like that value of like seeing someone do the wrong thing. It kind of like shines a mirror. It's like a mirror for ourselves sometimes. Like, oh, do I sometimes do that? You know, and I think Bilam is the same thing. Bilam's not some crazy guy. Bilaam is a regular person.
Is there anywhere in the Gemara or anything? Why Bilaam? Why was he so great? Do we know anything that came before this incident? Like
why he became who he was? I don't know. Yeah, that's a good question. There probably are some Amar Chazal about him. But sure, Bilaam wasn't a bad guy all the way through. He probably had, you know,
he was as
great as Moshe, right, in a certain sense.
For them.
Right, he had certain, and by the way, that's why it's an even greater model. It's not just some sleazeball.
Right.
It's a person who had a relationship with Hashem.
Right.
Who gets clouded.
They knew, go to him.
Right, who gets clouded by
something,
right.
Things.
Exactly, and he gets clouded by all this stuff,
yeah.
Whatever it was, that gets him to say, yeah, I'm doing the right thing. When in reality, he knows that he's not. And I think it's a powerful message, I think, for all of us in different ways, different parts of our life, in different areas, where we do the same thing. We make excuses. We tell ourselves X, Y, or Z, rather than just looking in the mirror and saying, actually, I probably shouldn't do that. Or actually, I should get together already and just do this the right way, because I know that I should. And we all have moments of clarity like that, you know, like something happens, you're like, I think it's enough. I think I'm ready, you know? And I think that Bilaam provides that opportunity, I guess in his zuchus, in the end, that he provides the opportunity for us to look in the mirror and to be able to ask ourselves, I don't want to be Bilaam. I'd rather be Avraham. Okay. Wow, guys.
I mean, like-